بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، فعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا كريم. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to share a reflection on a verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Does mankind think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tested? In a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, he tests them. And the most tested of people are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then those that follow their way. So who can tell me what are some of the objectives behind people being tested? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to understand behind the tests that we go through? To see which one of us is best indeed? Okay, what else? If you have an answer, raise your hand, inshallah. Bismillah. To test our faith? To get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay. Patience and steadfastness? Yeah. Having complete reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Any answers from the sisters? What are we meant to achieve through the tests that we go through? Sabr and shukr. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create martyrs out of you. This is extreme test, yaqi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So I think oftentimes when we look at these ayat and these hadith, we'll focus on, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to increase our ajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to increase our ranks. But when you look at the hadith that I mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, He will test them. So these people are already doing good deeds. These people are already having their sins forgiven. Right? The most tested of people are the Anbiya. The most tested of people are the Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people have already proven their faith. They've already shown their good deeds. So there has to be something greater than that. And that's something that I think that we don't focus on enough, which is the human element behind tests. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us at the end of Surah At-Tawbah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That there's come to you a prophet and messenger from amongst your own selves. It severely pains him the pain that you go through. He desires that which is best for you, and he is compassionate and merciful with the believers. So this is the description that the Prophet ﷺ is given. So the second thing that he is described with is that it severely pains him that which you go through. When an individual goes through a particular pain, you can get divorced. You cannot get into the degree that you wanted to get into. You cannot get the job that you wanted. The person that you propose to doesn't want to marry you. A family member passes away. These are all great tests that you go through. Inshallah, if you're patient, your sins are being forgiven, your ranks are being raised, good deeds are being written down for you. But what this also does for you is that the next time you meet someone that has gone through a similar circumstance or is going through a similar circumstance, it leads you to being empathetic. It leads you to being kind, merciful, and compassionate. Because you knew what that pain did to you. You knew how hard it was for you. And this leads you to be more merciful and more empathetic towards the other people. And this is a first lesson that I want us to take away, that as we are tried and tested, it's not just for the afterlife, but there's something that you're meant to take away from this life as well, which is mercy and compassion towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, I'm going to share a funny story with you from my teenage years. So, how many of you have an older sibling, an older brother or sister? Raise your hand. Older brother or sister. Man, those are challenging relationships, especially if they are older than you, subhanAllah. You get bullied. It's inevitable. So I have an older sister that's 4 years older than me. And she was just starting off high school. I was still in middle school. Anytime a friend used to come over, it wasn't good enough that I went to the basement or hid in my room or hid away from wherever her and her friends were. I would have to physically leave the house. So I used to have a cousin, my mom's sister's daughter, that used to live about, a 10-minute walk away. So every time her friend would come over, I would go to my aunt and uncle's house where my cousin is. And eventually we spent so much time together, subhanAllah, we developed a sibling rivalry. So she got a new bicycle, I had to get a better bicycle. I got a laptop, she had to get a better laptop. And things used to keep going back and forth this way. Until every quarter we would get our report cards, and my mom and dad, you know, may Allah have mercy upon them, and all of our parents, I mean, they used to ask me, how are your grades? And I'd be super happy. I'm like, Mom, Dad, you know, I got an A in this, a B in this, super happy with my grades. But as is typical culture, it could be Desi culture, Arab culture, but how did your cousin do? We have to compare you to other kids, you know, what else do we do? And I would be upset. I'm like, why do I have to be compared to her all the time? And mashallah, she was, you know, wearing jilbab, hijab, very studious, mashallah. I would make up any excuse. I'm like, look, you know, she has no social life. Obviously, she's going to do better academically. And it would hurt me a lot anytime I would be compared. But as is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every believer is going to have their own personal battle of Badr. What was my personal battle of Badr? The day we went for our driving exam. So she goes and she does her driving exam, and then she comes home and she has tears in her eyes. And I'm like, man, are these tears of happiness that she passed or tears of misery that she failed? And then she starts talking. She says, Mama, Baba, I'm so sorry, but I failed. And in the back of the house, you hear, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. And I'm partying and celebrating. Such a terrible person, subhanAllah. But now the pressure is on me. I have to go do my driving exam. If I don't pass, I'm going to have no self-respect left in the house. So I went to my driving exam, and I want you to, you know, empathize with me. The invigilator says, Mr. Aziz, welcome to your final driving exam. I would like you to reverse out of the parking spot. So I'm like, Bismillah, I got this. So put my seatbelt on, check all of my mirrors, turn the car on, put my foot on the brake, and I start reversing. I'm going back, I'm going back, I'm going back. Boom! You hit something. La ilaha illallah. What's the first word that comes to your mouth at that time? Right? I want you to imagine, when we get scared, what is the first word that comes to our minds at that time? Inshallah, it's good words. We're in the masjid and we're pious people, inshallah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That believers, when they're tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their natural reaction is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remind themselves that to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Now, I want you to imagine, let's do this exercise again. We're reversing back, you hit something, boom! What word comes out of your mouth? Naturally, this time it's going to be a dhikr. It'll be La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Why is that going to happen? Because you're prepared. You already knew that it was coming, so you knew what to respond. And this is one of the objectives of the ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us you have to be prepared for tests. And as you prepare for them, you will know how to respond. And this applies to all things in life. If you can assess and analyze all the troubles and difficulties that you are going to face, the better you are to respond to them. You know, I was giving a leadership class at Qalam yesterday, and I was telling people that as you go to give khutbah, there's always going to be that one uncle that's waiting for you before you get on the mimbar, and he's going to be like, Beta, son, I have some advice for you. And he's going to be waiting for you every week. How do you navigate through that situation? If you're not prepared, then you'll be like in a hurry, you'll be rude to him, you'll ruin the relationship, he'll be upset at you, he'll file a complaint against you, and you know what, he'll ruin his week, your week, and possibly your delivery of the khutbah as well. But if you know in advance that uncle's going to be there, you're going to show up intentionally 20 minutes early. And you'll be like, Uncle, Bismillah, let me treat you to some tea. Let's go chill outside. Give me all of the advice that you want. Let him speak till his heart is content. Make dua for him. Thank him. Jazakumullah khairan. Let's go give the khutbah, and I hope you enjoy it, inshallah. He leaves happy, you leave happy. And this was able to be done because you were prepared. Right? So the more preparation you put in your life in terms of assessing what are the pitfalls I'm going to face, what are the ways that shaitan can attack me, what are the possible relationship, you know, issues that I can have, the more you prepare, the more likely you'll have a more appropriate response. So these are two things that I want us to take away, inshallah. That number one, that as we go through trials and calamities and other people experience similar things, let us be more merciful, compassionate, and empathetic towards them. And then number two, what we learn from this ayah is the importance of being prepared and the importance of looking out for where shaitan can attack us and we can have pitfalls in our lives. And the more we prepare, then the better response we can have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, forgive us for our sins and shortcomings, grant us patience during times of tests, grant us gratitude in blessings, and make us of those that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. Allahumma ameen. Sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Thank you very much and welcome to Valley Ranch. Welcome home. Inshallah. Barakallah.